Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we're dedicated to waste reduction efforts, big and small. I'm Biz, and today I'm here with Anka from Ruth. Hi, Anka. How's it going?
Hi, Biz. It's going well. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you're here. So tell us all about Ruth.
So Ruth is a sustainable period care company that aims to make sustainable periods easy for people. And we do this by offering pads that are 93% plant-based and also disposable. So people don't have to worry about washing or reusing a menstrual product, and they can still be sustainable.
I use reusable pads myself. However, I know that it's a huge barrier for a lot of people who are either used to the convenience of just being able to throw away their pads when they're done with them, or just that shift in habit. And so it's really nice that there is a sustainable option out there for those people who it would just be a lot easier to make that switch.
Yeah, exactly.
How did you guys get started?
So myself and my co-founder, Nicole, we met while we were in university. And at the time, we were working on a student project under a student group called Enactus. And this student project was really focused on repurposing hemp waste to try to make a biodegradable menstrual pad. And at the time when we were working on it, we were really focused on product development and trying to create this novel biodegradable pad product. And then what we learned as we kept working on it throughout the years was that we were focused a little bit too much on the solution that we were trying to create and not really on the problem, which was menstrual waste and convenience. So when we took a step back to try and bridge that gap and actually work towards solving the problem, we realized that we might not have to reinvent the wheel completely, but instead that brought us to rebrand and relaunch as Ruth in January of 2021. And at this point, we had then gotten connected to a manufacturer in India that was already creating biodegradable menstrual products. And then our goal then was to start with tackling this menstrual waste problem by bringing in these products from India into Canada where they haven't been yet introduced. And that's kind of the journey from becoming or starting as a school project and then actually becoming a business.
And what is the motivation for you? Where does this interest in reducing waste come from for you?
Yeah, so when I was learning about the problem of menstrual waste, I didn't know anything about it until I joined that student group and started getting interested in it. At the time, I realized that almost 12 billion menstrual products get sent to North American landfills each year. And I found out that menstrual products that are typically found on store shelves contain up to 90% plastic for the pads and tampons. Knowing those facts, I felt really guilty about my own period and how with my own period care routine, I had looked at the reusable menstrual cups, I had tried reusable pads and just found that they weren't the right fit for me. And so that made me think that there are probably other people out there who are also trying to be more sustainable with their period care, but maybe just haven't found the right fit with the current reusable options that are out there. So personally, being driven by that, and I think the topic of menstruation is one that I think growing up in Canada, I did have the privilege of like learning a lot from school and being able to like understand menstrual care and what periods would actually be like before I started my period. But then I know that like my co-founder's experience is a little bit different, where for her story, she had grown up in the Philippines and didn't have as much access to proper menstrual care education. And so I think just being in the space of menstrual care has been something that the both of us are personally really passionate about. And so being sustainable and being able to tie that to something like menstruation, where the conversation is often stigmatized, and us trying to destigmatize it by being comfortable with talking about our own experiences and doing that and creating a company that is trying to openly share more conversation about periods in a positive way, I think is what drives us to continue to try and grow this business and make other people aware of the importance about sustainability and menstruation.
Yeah, I noticed that you mentioned people feeling guilty. I think you've mentioned yourself feeling guilty about your own period and how the waste you were creating. And no one should feel guilty about having a period.
Yeah.
And so having, having that accessibility and that conversation around it is a wonderful thing. So tell me more about the pads themselves. So when you say biodegradable, like what kind of biodegradable are we talking?
Yeah. So our pads are made from 93% plant-based materials, and these include kanna fiber, which is locally grown and sourced in India, also bamboo fiber, and we have a PLA-based backing for the backsheet of the pads. So we are trying to be really clear with our language and make sure that people understand this is biodegradable but not certified compostable. So it is made from bio-based ingredients, and under like lab testing, it has shown to be made from 93% of these plant-based materials, but we don't have that certification to say that it's compostable within a certain period of time. So that's like one distinction that we try to be clear about. And also our pads themselves, again, have that 93% plant-based recognition, but the wrapper itself is still plastic, and we're still trying to work on creating that to be also biodegradable. And the hope for the product in the future is to have a fully biodegradable and compostable pad. So that means it's able to be put into the compost and then actually return natural and safe, good for the soil type ingredients into that composting mix.
Okay. So, I mean, I know you guys are still a fairly young company, having just started a little over a year ago. So of course, there's going to be a journey and some evolution along the way.
Yeah.
That's lovely to hear that you're moving towards even more compostable and trying to make it 100% safe to just go back into the soil. So what is your biggest barrier at the moment?
Yeah, to getting there. I think the big thing right now is, and mainly like the reason why we started to go this route of, instead of us developing our products by ourselves again, the reason why we decided to go the route of working with a manufacturer to actually bring these products in is because we wanted to make sure that we could prove that there was a market for these products first and actually build the business, show that there are customers who are actually willing to pay for a solution like this before bringing on more new products that we ourselves as co-founders like think are amazing and awesome. But I think in order to have a financially sustainable business, we had to make sure that there was a market out there. So that's our big focus right now, like really trying to target and get to a market of growing customers. And from there, I think the next big challenge in terms of the product and making it more sustainable has to do with, honestly, like there are so many things that I could share, but I think one big one that's coming to mind is the fact that the supply chains right now are a little bit unstable. We've been talking to our manufacturer about it. So it seems like the cost for those raw materials are just increasing. And our products right now, they're already priced at a bit of a premium. And so we do acknowledge that there is like a big risk of, in the future, as things continue to increase, that we might have to pass on some of those increased raw material pricing onto our customers too. So I think those are some things that come to mind about the struggles.
That's fair. And really, you're not alone in that. Like that's happening everywhere. I think people see that that's happening everywhere and hopefully aren't going to hold that against you.
Yeah.
So you said you had tried some other things. What were some of the barriers that you came up against that made it difficult for you to try some of the other alternatives out there?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've tried are the reusable pads. And what I noticed from that so I tried these during the pandemic. When I was just working and staying at home and studying at home, I think that like I felt comfortable trying new products because I knew that like if I leaked or anything like that, then it wouldn't really matter. Like I could just do my laundry if I needed to.
Right.
But one thing that I noticed with the pads that I tried were that they felt like really, really bulky. So when I wore them, and I do have a heavy flow, so I purposefully chose like something that would be good for heavy flow. And so maybe that's the reason. But I found that like if I was wearing like any sort of like tight fitting pants or like leggings or something, then like the menstrual pad would show. And it felt a little bit like a very large diaper, which wasn't always like the most comfortable feeling while being on my period. But when I was like at home, I was like, okay, then I don't think this is like as big of a concern. I think the thing that I found a little bit inconvenient just had to do with like what type of like washing routine I would have to incorporate, because I try to do my laundry like every 2 weeks or so. And so I would have to like time it really well with my cycle so that I could actually be putting that into the wash. And that's something that I've also recently tried with reusable period underwear, like a similar thing of how I like sort of the convenience of just wearing it as underwear and it's comfortable and great. But I found that like needing to time it with my laundry routine was like a little bit inconvenient. So yeah, I think those are those are the two things that I kind of think about.
That's fair. Well, I will say I am rather blessed to have a very light period. So my reusable pads, and I made them myself. So I was able to make them to my own specifications. And so that worked out well for me. I will admit that sharing a house with other people when we need to wash your pads, I do tend to try to be discreet about it because no one really wants to see that. But I do like a pre-wash where I will rinse them and get them like mostly clean and then put them somewhere so that they can just wait until they're ready for my main wash. Right. So there's, it's kind of a little bit of a two-step process. I just find it a habit at this point. So not a, not, but I totally understand that that would be, especially the more people you live with, or if, what if you have male roommates that aren't like your partner? Right? Like you don't want that just hanging around. I get that.
Yeah.
So would you say that your pads then are not very bulky and you can wear them with leggings pretty comfortably?
Yeah, I find that I actually can. And I think what like I personally like about disposable pads too is that like when I'm out and about, I can take them in my purse and it's like pretty easy to like switch them out as needed. Cause that was something that I guess like I thought about a little bit when I was trying the reusable pad was that like, oh, like if I needed to change it in public, like that means I would have to be like carrying some extra materials to like hold the used reusable pad, which I think is perfectly fine and doable for people who prefer that. But like just for myself, I just
more stuff.
Didn't quite want to do that. But yeah, I think with like the disposable pads, like what I like about them are that they are quite absorbent. So I feel protected when I'm on my period. Yeah. And so far it's been great. Like they're soft and comfortable. So I think like as a user myself, it does help to be able to like test the products out and make sure that they're working for me and for the customers that we have.
Are you planning on having the future evolved version of Ruth pads manufactured in Canada, or will you continue to get them through India?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think when we think about like the future for manufacturing, it depends on like quite a number of factors. So I would say that like it would be really exciting if we were able to do any manufacturing in Canada. One of the barriers that we faced when we were working on the student project was that to run your own manufacturing, it requires you to arrange for all the suppliers. And what we noticed at the time when we were working on our prototypes of that hemp-based pad were that the suppliers we were talking to, we were sourcing from almost like all over the world. So our adhesive, we were talking to a company in Germany, our bioplastic material, we were talking to a company in China, and then the raw material from hemp, we were talking to a Canadian company, but then it would have to be processed in the US. So it just turned out that like having raw material sourced from like all over the world made it so that our products would be super expensive to actually manufacture if we were trying to do it ourselves in North America. So I think taking into consideration things like where the raw materials are based out of and what the travel times from those places to the actual manufacturing facility is something that we'd have to take into consideration again. But I do think that there is potential for us as we think like beyond just menstrual pads. Our future looks like adding more product lines to our company. So we do hope to be able to include things like panty liners in the future, tampons, and products that are suitable for adult incontinence. And even further down the line, also products suitable for baby diapers and things like that, so that we can be more inclusive with sustainable, disposable, absorbent materials.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah, I shouldn't say I never really. I have thought about this actually a lot. But I bet a lot of people don't think about where the materials come from to begin with, the raw materials. Mm-hmm. So yes, shipping from India, but if it's less travel time for all the raw materials to get to India and then one mm-hmm. product comes to Canada, that could actually end up being less shipping than all of these products coming from all over the place to Canada directly. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. yeah, that's an interesting point and something that, as much as it would be really nice to have all local products completely yeah. like homegrown in our own province or whatever, but it's just yeah, not realistic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. Like, I think when it comes to being sustainable, I feel like it's hard to find like perfection, I guess, because there are all those other factors, like you mentioned, of like where the raw materials are coming from, the shipping times, even like the commute to get to the retailer that is eco-friendly. Sometimes they're like a little bit out of the ways. Like, I was thinking about this too when, so right now I'm actually in the Toronto area and I was making my way to downtown Toronto, looking at different eco-friendly retailers. And I realized that like by driving down there, so I decided to drive because the subways were partially closed during the weekends. So when I decided to drive, I realized like by driving down there, like the emissions of driving down there to check out sustainable materials, like it probably was like not even like I should have just, I don't know, looked online or something if I really wanted to be more sustainable. So I don't know. I think like there are these trade-offs sometimes that I don't know, like it's hard to like justify everything, but there are going to be imperfect decisions and things along the way. But I think if the overall goal is to really try to become more sustainable and more eco-friendly, decisions and steps towards that.
Yes.
Look like progress.
If we only do something that is the perfect solution, we'll never do anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to think that getting everything delivered to your door was so wasteful for like transport. Mm-hmm. But I realized that if you make a single trip every time you go buy something, mm-hmm. then you're actually doing more driving than one yeah. delivery truck who's going around to a group of houses at a time.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, actually, that's better.
Yeah.
I never thought about it that way, but that's actually less driving, less emissions if everybody just got everything delivered by the companies who just do the routes all at once. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. There's a lot to think about when it comes to these things.
It makes me wonder if like there would be something in the future that calculates like the eco footprint of every decision or like every type of purchase you make.
Have you seen The Good Place?
I've heard of it. I watch clips, but I haven't watched the show.
There are a few good scenes all about that and how they calculate yeah. whether you're doing a good deed or a bad deed.
Oh, yeah.
There's this one scene where they're like, I can't even buy a flipping tomato because buying a tomato is minus 400 points.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like the pesticides and the traveling from Mexico. And yeah, mm-hmm. It was really good. I really enjoyed that show and I enjoyed those moments.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll have to check it out. I've been looking for a new show to start watching.
It's really good. So what's been an eco win for you lately, personally?
Personally, this has been, I guess, like an eco win that is motivated also by my budget, but I haven't purchased new clothing in the last, I want to say like 4 or 5 months. And even before that, like in 2021, I tried to only purchase clothing from thrift stores, so that it would kind of be like a way of diverting things that would typically just get thrown out. So yeah, I think it's something that I'm still working on. I mean, it's like withholding. So I guess it's like not so much of like an active decision, but it's more so just like choosing to not purchase things, but really just like repurpose things from my own wardrobe that I already have. Just because I realized that like when we talk about like the three R's that we learn in school, like mm-hmm. reduce, reuse, and recycle, I think like the reduce and reuse part is something that I'm trying to practice more of when it comes to my decision making.
Love it. It's actually amazing how often the environmental decisions are the things you don't do. Mm-hmm. It's like everyone's like, oh, do this, do this, do this. Well, or don't do those things. And that's even yeah. better.
Yeah, yeah. Like instead of purchasing a new eco-friendly like shampoo or yeah. whatever, just use what you have, finish what you do have first.
Exactly. And what has been an eco challenge for you lately?
So I did recently move back home. And before I lived on my own, I had been trying to be good with my meat consumption. And what I would do was for a year, I had like a New Year's resolution to not eat meat when I was like cooking and buying it for myself. But I would let myself eat meat if I was going out at restaurants and things like that. But I think like having moved back home and adapting and adjusting to my family's eating habits, they really enjoy having meat at every meal. So I think it's been like a challenge to adjust to that. But I do try when I'm responsible for our family meals and family dinners to introduce things that don't require any meat in it, because I do think about the environmental impact of that. Yeah, I think there's still so much room to change that. I think my parents are getting more open to it, but it's something that we'll work on together.
And those little habits will trickle. Yeah, it's great. Okay, well, that's something that we try to do as well, try to reduce our meat. So where can people find Ruth?
So people can find us on our website at getruth.ca and also on our socials. We're on Instagram as also at getruth.ca. If anyone wants to get in touch with myself or my co-founder, Nicole, we're both on LinkedIn. So my name's Anka Chan and my co-founder is Nicole Sanchez.
Great. And I will post all of those onto the show notes. Was there anything else you wanted to add before we head out?
I think we're just grateful for the opportunity to share the story and really inspired by all the other Edmonton people who are trying to really make the world a little bit more sustainable. So thank you, Biz, for sharing our story.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yeah, I love hearing about the new ventures out there. Everything is evolving and growing and we're just getting better and better. And we just need to keep this conversation going. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
I'd like to say thank you to all of the listeners who tuned in today. And thank you to our patrons on Patreon and wastefree.ca. You make it possible for Waste Free Edmonton to do all of our background work that we do with the city. And we'd like to thank Change Toothpaste, who sponsor the podcast and make it free to do, because podcasting is not free and we are all volunteers here. If you would like to get in touch with Becoming Less, you can find us by email at becominglesspod@gmail.com. You can go to Instagram and find us at becominglesspod, or you can go to wastefree.ca/becominglesspod for all the ways to connect and listen. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday.
I can't hear your audio anymore.
Oh, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
I can read your lips though.